sacrifices they make.
A suspect's in custody. New Mexico's chief medical investigator, Dr. Heather Jarrell, says both Gene Hackman and his wife, Betsy Arakawa, died of natural causes last month, possibly a week apart. CBS's Carter Evans is in Santa Fe.
Gene Hackman's pacemaker showed activity all the way up to February 18th, suggesting that he was alive for a full week after his wife died. The question now is, what exactly was going on during that week? Was he trying to get help for his wife? Had he become disabled and he couldn't call for help? That's all unknown right now. Or was his Alzheimer's disease so advanced that perhaps he wasn't aware of what's going on?
A child's died in Texas, an adult in Mexico, New Mexico, from the measles outbreak centered in a Texas county bordering New Mexico. CBS's Omar Villafranco with the latest.
The state is now at 198 confirmed cases, a majority of them, 137, in far west Texas in Gaines County. And the state says that it's a small Mennonite community there.
New Mexico's case count has now tripled to 30. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Brian Lomax, defend the vote.
The SAVE Act will make it harder for all Americans to vote. Now you need a passport. Wisconsin specific, 5 million people don't have a passport. Now it's $130 per passport.
Even if you can afford to get a passport, that is a months-long process. Unless you planned a year ahead, you're not going to be able to vote.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Tom from Monona. I love this one. He says, this is Tom. I like to rub my feet together and drink milk out of the cow. Listen, we'd all spoon ourselves if we could, just for some affection. But rubbing your feet together, as I mentioned last week, is the closest thing to self-cuddling. It's just a relaxing, and Tom wants to do that, apparently laying under the udder of a cow. That is the idea of a chill evening on Fat Tuesday.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Yo, I'm your old basketball. Haven't seen you out on the courts in a while. Why not pass me over to Goodwill? Donating me helps Goodwill's mission to provide career training and support services right here in the community. And that's a slam dunk. Donate today. Hey, I got next.
To find your nearest Goodwill locations and to learn more about our mission, please visit goodwill.org. Goodwill, where your things start new lives.
James here, host of Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape, every Sunday from 8 to 9 on WFHR. It's your weekly dose of music, nostalgia, and pop culture exclusively on locally grown radio.
News Connection, I'm Judith Ruiz Branch. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy for tonight. Lows in the mid-teens. For the weekend, more sunshine than clouds and warmer. Highs in the upper 40s Saturday, mid-50s Sunday. Dry through most of next week and warm. Lots of 40s and 50s, even some 60s. Currently 21 degrees.
Pat Kreitlow.
I'm practicing my quiet voice because Monday is my wife's birthday and she's sleeping in. One of the occupational hazards of trying to do a radio show from home.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Buck, Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. You can call. You can text. The number is the same. 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream. on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Elon continues to actively ruin. Coming up later on this afternoon from 2 to 4 p.m., Maggie Dawn and producer Jamie will host another round of Ask Maggie. It's a great segment. You can text in any question you have for Maggie Dawn, and she's got a wealth of experience.
I have so many questions.
It's fantastic. It's a great segment. Join Maggie for Ask Maggie later on this afternoon. And then the one and only, we call her the genie of just about everything on Civic Media, Terry Barr, is going to join Maggie's show to talk about what's good, local, and overlooked in Wisconsin.
Oh.
So Terry's really got her finger on the pulse on everything in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Very into music, very into entertainment. So join Maggie this afternoon from 2 to 4 p.m. He joins us every Friday at this time for a little recombobulating, and he's also Civic Media's political editor, coming to us from a secure location somewhere in Wisconsin. Dan Schaefer is here. Good morning, Dan. How you doing?
Good morning, Jane. Good morning, Greg. Good morning, Calvin. How's everybody doing?
We are good. It's Friday. We got a little light snow falling here in Racine, but all is good. It's going to be a beautiful weekend. By the way, we have incredible weather coming up this weekend, so I hope you can get out and enjoy it. But we wanted to start off with talking about the Marquette University Law School poll that came out yesterday. And we talk about this frequently. We live in kind of a different world because we are so involved in the news and so involved in staying up on things. And we kind of look at other people like, what do you mean you don't know that? but there are a lot of people have lives and they have children and they have elderly parents and jobs and all those things. So it shouldn't be a surprise that not everyone is as well informed as they could be, let's say.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that was one of the main takeaways from a big picture standpoint from the poll. It's just the, you know, it was the first poll of 2025, first poll of the Wisconsin Supreme Court and state superintendent races that are going to be on the April 1st spring election. And as much as we talk about folks like Susan Crawford or Jill Underley, you know, the majority of Wisconsinites do not know who they are.
Mm-hmm.
They do not have an opinion of many of them. You know, I think it was a little bit different for Brad Schimmel, being that he was the, you know, former attorney general. Perhaps the fact that he has been running this campaign for 16 months in addition to that as well. But I think it is, you know, just really shows the challenge that these campaigns are facing. You know, for as much as we've talked about them on the airwaves at Civic Media or online at the Recombobulation Area, you know, there's a lot of people in the state of Wisconsin who just do not have opinions of these candidates. You know, sometimes when you talk about the polling, it will be, they'll ask the question about like the candidates, but then they'll ask like the head to head. And this is the, you know, liberal aligned candidate. And this is the conservative aligned candidate. And then people will just kind of fall into their typical partisan boxes.
They extrapolate from there.
Right. But for as far as like on an individual level, like, did it surprise you that the fact that like almost 60% of voters in Wisconsin don't have an opinion of Susan Crawford?
I guess it didn't surprise me. It really didn't. Brad Schimmel has the edge because he has some name recognition.
Yeah, he's held statewide office.
He's had statewide office before. It's like, yep, I know that name. I know he's a Republican. I'll vote for him.
Yeah,
right. And you know, it was, but still, even though, even given all of that, he was still, I think it was close to 40% of people did not have an opinion of him. So I think, you know, the Marquette poll did not do a head-to-head poll between Crawford and Schimmel. And I don't think we would have really learned anything from it because we have so many people who have not formed an opinion on these candidates, which I think makes, you know, makes this final stretch especially important. I think people are so tuned into what's happening nationally that the, you know, the state level stuff maybe is still, even as we're getting, you know, millions and millions of dollars in ads, and this is like blowing past all records in spending for a state court race, like it's still not the same, you know, as any other type of statewide race.
Well, and speaking of money, I saw another article this morning. Elon Musk now has poured like $6 million into this race. Lots and lots of money. Seems to me Elon really, really, really wants Brad Schimmel on the Wisconsin Supreme Court.
Yeah, and his ads have been, the ads coming from the groups that he's funding have been like, elect Brad Schimmel to you know, allow the Trump agenda to go forward and all of that. And that's kind of been the approach from Elon. And, you know, there was some polling on Elon here in this race, too. Do you want to talk about that?
Oh, let's.
Yes, please.
Okay, so I'll let me pull up the Elon polling.
By the way, since we didn't have I forgot to mention this before we went to the news at the top of the hour. Another SpaceX rocket went boom last night. It exploded shortly after it was launched from Texas, and it caused the grounding of flights over most of southern Florida. Fortunately, nobody was hurt. That's the good thing. But yeah, another rapid unscheduled disassembly from SpaceX. And
another masterful gambit, sir.
Yes.
Masterful gambit, Mr. Musk.
That went so well. But anyway, let's get back
to... He meant to do that.
That was an intentional explosion. Tell us about Elon's numbers.
So Elon polled, his favorability rating was at 41% favorable to 53% unfavorable. So not great for Mr. Elon Musk. And if you look actually at the independent voters on this one, a lot of times independent voters will kind of track with what the rest of it is. Independent voters are very low on Elon. He only had 29 favorable to 58% unfavorable among independent voters. What would you guess his favorability is among Democratic voters?
His favorability?
Yeah. How many Democrats view him favorably?
Four people.
Pretty close. Pretty close. 1%. 1% of
who
the
359
person sample. So I think, you know, it would amount to a few people there. But 1% favorable to 97% unfavorable, the view among Democrats for Mr. Elon Musk.
But what about Republicans?
Republicans, it is 81% favorable to 11% unfavorable. One of the real stories, and I think Craig Gilbert of the Journal Sentinel wrote about this in his recap of the poll, the divide is so stark. Like, you see the same in the polling on Trump, in the polling on, you know, a number of other figures in the Democratic Party and all that. The divide, it used to be kind of in the, you know, Republicans might be like a 70% favorable for Trump or something like that or whatever. It's now just like Republicans have like 100% near favorability for Trump and Democrats are close to zero. Like, the divide is just really, really wide now.
It's not even worth talking about in that, right? Like, of course you love Elon. He's your guy's guy. And
Going back to Brad Schimmel, though, and this is from the Wisconsin Examiner from this morning, and I think it's really interesting because Brad Schimmel does seem to be saying one thing on the campaign trail, and then when he's in these more private events, it's an entirely different thing. He is presenting himself to the public as this moderate. He's the rash, you know, the reasonable, I back the blue guy. Well, when he gets off into these more private events, that's not who he is, how he is portraying himself. He was at a Turning Point USA event. Turning Point USA, run by Charlie Kirk.
Case closed.
I mean, he's essentially saying he wants to be on the Wisconsin Supreme Court to help Donald Trump's agenda. That doesn't seem non-political to me.
Yeah, and he's saying at the same time as while saying his goal is to bring, you know, objectivity.
Oh, yes.
Back to the court.
Yeah.
And you know, he's made some comments this week about, like, just kind of going back to some 2020 conspiracy theory stuff that makes him sound like Michael Gableman, former state Supreme Court Justice Michael Gableman. It's just like that level of stuff that's going on.
And don't forget as well, Brad Schimmel has come down on the side of the January 6th attackers at the U.S. Capitol, believes they didn't get a fair shot, they didn't get a fair trial. And yeah, now in these private events, and again, we can include this article from the Wisconsin Examiner. Yeah, there was, I'm still not sure about the 2020 election. I'm still not sure about the results. We spent over $2 million worth of taxpayer money to investigate voter fraud in Wisconsin. And you know what they found? Nothing.
And who agrees with that? Robin Voss.
Go figure.
Discombobulating times. There were a couple other under the radar results from the poll that I wanted to talk about. Do we have time before the break to
get
into those?
Absolutely. We got about a minute and a half. Go ahead, and then we'll come back and finish it up.
We'll start with one of them here. You know, they ask about many issues. And this one really got in. There was a lot of education issues, a lot of other, you know, just kind of like issues that we've been talking about on Matt and Air on air and on across the Civic Media Network. One of them is the extension of Medicaid for new moms.
This is bipartisan support in Wisconsin.
It has overwhelming bipartisan support, and it not only in the people who are introducing this, but now we see in public polling as well. So 67% of Wisconsin registered voters are in favor of extending coverage for Medicaid recipients to a full year for mothers after giving birth. That is a pretty overwhelming number. 67% is a big deal. And I think, you know, that just shows where voters are in this issue. And I think people would really like to see the state legislature move forward with this.
But that's where it goes to die. Mm-hmm. That's where everything goes to die. It doesn't matter how much Wisconsinites agree, even if they overagree overwhelmingly in favor of safer gun laws, say, or access to safe and legal abortions. Vast majority of Wisconsinites agree about these things. Robin Voss doesn't. And that's where it ends.
He's the one holding it up.
Exactly.
He's the one holding it up.
And so,
but you know, there's a majority of Republicans that don't always want this, too. This is overwhelmingly favored by Democrats and independents. Republicans very much split on this issue as well.
We're going to continue our conversation with Dan Schaefer, creator of the Recombobulation Area and also the political editor for Civic Media. Stay close. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air, coming to you across the vast Civic Media radio network. We'll be right back.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR. The Todd Alba Show.
Trump and Vance verbally assaulted the president of Ukraine, an ally of the U.S. Trump defending the president of Russia, a known dictator. This is a complete capitulation to our sworn enemies. And it's time for Republicans, my former party that I left in 2011, to speak the hell up. Because if we don't, it's not going to be long before we don't have anything left to defend.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Folks, I'm talking with Jill Rosenthal. Trump is proposing to make incredibly drastic cuts to the NIH.
The National Institutes of Health, the state receives almost $600 million. That pays for over 7,000 jobs in Wisconsin and accounted for almost $1.5 billion in economic activity in 1 year.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Buck. Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. He joins us every Friday at this time, creator of the Recombobulation Area and also Civic Media's political editor. Dan Schaefer is here, and we've been kicking around the latest Marquette University Law School poll that came out yesterday, and Dan's gleaned some kind of things, some of the under the radar things that not everybody is necessarily talking about.
Yeah, everybody's going to talk about what happens with Trump. Everybody's going to talk about Elon. Everybody's going to talk about the Wisconsin Supreme Court race. But there are so many issues that this particular one polled, and I wanted to talk about five under the radar ones. So we talked about the postpartum Medicaid expansion right before the break there. Next one I wanted to talk about was childcare, something we talk about that I've talked about a lot, you know, on this show and at the Recombobulation Area and elsewhere. And so the question in this poll was, do you favor or oppose a proposal by Tony Evers to include $500 million in the upcoming budget to make permanent a childcare subsidy that began during the COVID-19 pandemic but is set to expire at the end of June? Complicated question. Yep. But it broke down 54% in favor, 45% oppose. And if you look at the partisan divide on this one, it is really stark. You know, Democrats and independents favor making this subsidy permanent. Republicans, by an overwhelming margin, are opposed to funding childcare in the state.
So what is their answer then? Women should just stay home and take themselves out of the workforce and stay home and take care of their kids?
I don't think they have answers on this. Frankly. I don't think they have answers.
They just don't want issue. They just don't want it.
And this, the child care counts program that this question is alluding to was recognized by the Wisconsin Policy Forum as, you know, an exceptional program. That's a nonpartisan policy analysis shop. And they have recognized that how effective and how important it has been to keeping child care facilities open in Wisconsin and raising wages for the people who are caring for our kids. And so I think those are really important things. But again, this has turned into a very red-blue divide. On this one in particular.
You know, I just have this is purely speculation for down the road when Robin Voss is either voted out of office or steps down. How many Republicans, not just Democrats, but Republicans be like, okay, can we get some work done? Can I take something back to my district, to my people? Because campaigning on childcare, expanding healthcare, I mean, all these things are great things. People just agree on them. And I feel like the moment Robin Voss makes his way out of his little power office, people are going to be like, all right, let's get some work done, actually get
something done.
Exactly.
Dan, it looks like you're frozen on us. There you are.
I hope I'm not frozen there.
But if you are, let it go.
I was looking up the next one because the next one I wanted to talk about in this polling is on Act 10, which, of course, has been back in the news with the case striking it down and the, you know, just kind of as it winds through its way to the Wisconsin Supreme Court. So for this one, the question was on if Act 10 should be. Do you hope that the court upholds Act 10 or strikes down the law as violating the state constitution? Only 42% of Wisconsinites said that they would want to uphold the law. 54%. Saying that they would prefer to strike the law down. It is almost 14 years exactly since that law was passed in the state of Wisconsin in, you know, that tumultuous spring in 2011.
Yeah.
And I think it, you know, it's one of those things sometimes you look at how policies age, right? The Affordable Care Act was one of those things that people were very polarized over
yes. in
the early going, but as it aged, people's public opinion of it really has been positive over the years. Act 10, I think it's pretty interesting that it is as much of a net negative as it is here, because you see conservatives touting this proposal, you know, touting Act 10s as this, you know, major success in Wisconsin. Well, in large part, Wisconsinites are not feeling it in that way. And I think it is really interesting that, you know, 14 years in, most Wisconsinites are would prefer for it to be struck down. And this is interesting too. How many Republicans do you think sided with the strike down here?
More than we would ever know. I'll bet you, just because they didn't have the guts or couldn't say something,
couldn't step out of the circle,
because they all represent teachers and schools and like what I'm hearing in these polling questions is that the Wisconsin that we talk about, that we miss, is alive and well in the people, not in the people mm-hmm. passing the laws. They are upholding the will of the people every single day they are occupying those offices, period.
Well, and I would hope that the Crawford campaign is going to look at some of these results and start tagging Schimmel with this stuff. because mm-hmm. Schimmel is against everything in this poll that people seem to be for. And for people who have forgotten, Act 10 essentially, and this is a very simplistic explanation of it, but what Act 10 did was strip collective bargaining powers from every union that might not support a Republican.
Yeah.
Right?
And now, here's the thing that I really stood out as interesting to me on this. 34% of Republicans want Act 10 to be struck down. So we were talking before that how these there's these huge divides, you know, on Elon Musk, on Donald Trump, on all of these different things. A third of Republicans now want Act 10 to be struck down. I found that fascinating.
Well, and there's hay to be made out of that if they utilize it.
And not just in this upcoming election, but in primaries and general elections in the future over the next few years. I mean, this is very telling information, Dan. Very, and it actually makes me feel
a little
good.
Better.
It makes me feel better because it means, oh, Wisconsinites still have the right mindset for what we need to do to move forward, which is our state motto, moving forward. But yeah, unfortunately.
Now all we need are elected representatives who will actually do what their constituents want. I know it's asking a lot.
In Wisconsin, apparently it is.
Apparently,
apparently
it is
asking a lot.
Dan Schaefer, our guest from the Recombobulation Area political editor
there
for Civic Media. Friday, words are hard. News coming up next when we return. Pete Schwabe here from Nightlight. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Once I get strapped in the 210, wheels up and we'll be rocking. Getting out of frozen Wisconsin. I need you to recombobulate me. I want you to recombobulate me. I need you to recombobulate me. Won't somebody recombobulate me?
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
CBS News brief. A few dozen people gathered outside a South Carolina prison to protest the execution by firing squad of Brad Sigmund.
I don't believe the state should be in the business of executing people. It wastes money. We have alternatives. Life in prison without parole is cheaper.
Sigmund killed his ex-girlfriend's parents with a baseball bat in 2001. President Trump is threatening to place tariffs of 250% on Canadian lumber and dairy products. CBS News Money Watch correspondent Kelly O'Grady says Trump's rationale may be flawed.
Lumber and dairy. He's saying, well, Canada tariffs us. He's saying this is a reciprocal tariff. They don't really do that. They actually just subsidize their domestic industries to make that more attractive versus the U.S. being able to sell there.
New Mexico's chief medical investigator, Dr. Heather Jarrell, says Gene Hackman's wife, Betsy Arakawa, died of a virus prominent in rodents.
Hantavirus pulmonary syndrome. The manner of death is natural.
CBS News Brief.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
It's the Bucks against the Magic. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NBA. The Bucks with back-to-back games at home. Tonight against the Orlando Magic. Tomorrow night against the Cavaliers. Milwaukee has won four in a row. Bucks shooting guard A.J. Green.
I feel like we just come together more as a team and are continuing to trust each other more and have been putting a lot of focus on that. And so I think you've been able to see that for us and how we played. And it's just going to be continuing to take next steps with that, you know, on defense and continuing to do it consistently on offense.
And NFL, only four players have played 16 years or more in Green Bay. Bart Starr, Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers, and kicker Mason Crosby, who retired yesterday.
I am a culture, team, relationship guy. That's why Green Bay was perfect for me. You know, I chose to stay here over and over again. Never went to free agency until my last year. I chose this place as it chose me, and God's plan was set in place a long time ago that this was where I was supposed to be, and I'm thankful for that every day.
That's Mason Crosby with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy for tonight. Lows in the mid-teens. For the weekend, more sunshine than clouds and warmer. Highs in the upper 40s Saturday, mid-50s Sunday. Dry through most of next week and warm. Lots of 40s and 50s, even some 60s. Currently, it's 19 degrees.
Ready for the April election? Here's a special invitation for you. Join the free Protecting Justice for All conversation about the Wisconsin Supreme Court race Wednesday, March 12th from 5 till 7 p.m. at the Overture Center in Madison.
Up North News Radio host Pat Kreitlow, Civic Media's Todd Alba, and Dan Schaefer will lead a guest discussion about the economy, education, environment, and more. Then stay for the candidates' debate watch party.
Attend in person or listen to live coverage from the Overture Center in Madison Wednesday night, March 12th from 5 till 7 on your local Civic Media radio station and the app. Reviewing the week's legal news with a friend of the court.
Well, I'm looking forward to Saturday morning. I haven't missed one. Outstanding, just like being in school.
It has been a week in the areas of law and government and the aspiration for justice in America. As always, I am delighted. I am honored that you have chosen to spend some of your weekend time with me in discussion.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
When we got our home appraised, we felt robbed. Compared to a similar home right around the corner, our appraisal was $80,000 less.
Latino and Black homeowners are about twice as likely as white homeowners to get low appraisals. If you believe your home has been unfairly appraised because of race or national origin, contact HUD at hud.gov/fairhousing. That's hud.gov/fairhousing. Everyone has a right to fair housing. A public service message from HUD in partnership with the National Fair Housing Alliance.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Maggie Dawn.
Hey, everybody. I've got an off day coming up, but don't worry. We've got you covered. We'll be chatting with Mark Pocan at 3 o'clock about the Elon Act. Do we really want billionaire overlords controlling our government?
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
If you hadn't been there, where would I be? Without your trust, love, and belief.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvettini on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. As we always do, we try and lighten things up a little bit for the last half hour of the show. We call it Audio Sorbet. Just a little cleansing breath to get away from all of the news. And that's why we have with us Pete Schwabba, the host of Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, 6 to 8 p.m. across the Civic Media Radio Network. Pete, that song is a new song from Dolly Parton, commemorizing her husband, Carl Dean, who passed away this week. They had been married for 60 years. And we didn't really have a chance to mention it earlier this week, but just wanted to get a shout out to Dolly and to her longtime husband, who was always in the background and didn't have a problem with that.
Yep.
Well, that makes sense now, because I thought I was about to ask someone to slow dance. I didn't know what was going on.
All right, Pete, come here. We'll do it. Slow skate. Me and you. Couples jam.
Yeah, that was something else. I kind of forgot she was married, you know, like you just never heard about the guy, but they were together for like 60 years. And she's like all over the news saying, you know, what a great marriage they had. And you know, she might be doing cartwheels behind the scene. We don't know. 60 years is a long time, but no, it's a kind of a pretty song. I like it.
It's great. And I love their origin story is so adorable. She was 18 and she had just moved to Nashville and she met him outside of a laundromat called the Wishy Washy Laundromat. That's a country song in and of itself.
Yeah, right. Well, and she said in an article I saw that it was her first day in Nashville, too. And she showed up with dirty clothes at 16. I mean, what was going on in her life that made her do that? That's incredible. And then to get to where she got is amazing.
Yeah, I mean, she was. I mean, not to get too deep in the history, but she was the breadwinner of her family from a very young age. She was on TV writing songs, being a personality, and she's like, "Well, I can only do so much in Pigeon Forge.
Yeah,
I got to move on."
But yeah, all big love to Dolly Parton, and so sorry for the loss of your beloved Carl Dean. I have been waiting for this.
Yep.
4 weeks. This has been my obsession.
She has a board in the back with red yarn and everything. It's a real, real moment here.
So the movie Green and Gold, produced by two Wisconsin guys, right, Pete?
Wisconsin, UP, yeah. The Anders, the Lindwall brothers. Anders is the director, and his brother also produced the film. So it's a great story.
It is a great story. It's a lovely, very sweet, very hopeful film about a farmer having some hard times in northeastern Wisconsin, and he bets the farm on the Packers winning the Super Bowl. But there is one. I went to see the movie about a month ago by myself, and I came home, and my husband said, "How was the movie?" I just said, "It was fine, except for this one thing. There is a plot flaw in this movie, and I just can't shake it off." You finally went and saw it last weekend, Pete. I want to know, Greg's rubbing his eyes. Are you with me on this?
Pete, before you answer that, feel free to lie. Just feel free to lie your face off.
Well, all right. First of all, a farmer who bets the farm and the Packers winning the Super Bowl. Shrewd business move. I think we can all agree on that. But I was watching the film, Jane, and I was trying to figure out what it was, what plot issue, and you never told me what it was.
Exactly, because I wanted to see if you would spot it.
Right. So here was my biggest issue, and I like the film, and Anders is a great guy. I've had him on the show a couple times, and I'm amazed at what they've been able to accomplish. My only issue, or the thing I thought that jumped out at first, was the girl, Madison Lawler, who plays the daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Does it involve her, plot issue?
No, it's about a prop. It is about a physical prop that is used to move along the plot line.
Oh.
We're not bringing you back next week if you don't find it today.
Oh, really, Greg? Yeah, I can sleep in then. Okay.
So nothing jumped out at you?
No, hold on. I don't know anything about farming, first of all, but someone said to me, the plow.
Not the plow. No, not the plow. All right, I'm just going to spit it out.
Oh, boy, man, this is...
It's the ladder, Pete. The ladder.
Well, I was... Okay.
So
this sounds like armchair quarterbacking. I was going to say something about that because I wouldn't let my 80-year-old mother climb a ladder with 2 feet of snow on the ground. But they already established, Jane, in the story that she was up on the roof doing things.
I mean,
they're a farm family. She's obviously got some grit. But
And that's fine. And I was fine with that. So here's my whole issue. So she's up on the second floor, caulking windows. It's fall. Okay. Later on in the film, now it's winter and she is going with her girlfriend to get in the car and there's snow on the ground. And her friend says, "Ooh, you better not leave that ladder there." So she starts climbing up the ladder, which is wrapped in Christmas lights. So they went around the second floor of the house and put Christmas lights around the second floor, didn't move the ladder, wrapped the lights around the ladder, and then continued with the lights around the house. No self-respecting Wisconsinite would do that. Ever.
Well, there you have it, folks. Where's our award, WBA?
You know, here, first of all, I want to say you kind of tainted my whole experience too, Jane, because I finally get to see this movie. I had the director on the show. I made an independent film. I'm excited to see what this guy did. And all I can think the whole movie is, what would Jane have had a problem with that? What's Jane's issue with that? What happened? And that was kind of me watching the movie. And my only issue was like when the daughter got the singing contract.
Right.
When the Brandon Sklenar character offered her a ton of money and they're about to lose the farm. Take the money. She has no connections. She's in Door County. She's performed at two open mics, whatever it was. Like, you take that money and you get credit as a singer. So that was my biggest issue overall, but I'm totally nitpicking. I enjoyed the film and
No self-respecting Wisconsinite would do that. We would never leave the ladder up and just wrap the Christmas lights around the ladder and then continue around the house. Wouldn't happen.
I guess, yeah. Okay. I'm Dad, kind of with you, but I also, like, my wife has been after me to, like, I could easily hear her saying, you know, that ladder's been out there for 2 weeks. What's the story here? You know?
Dan?
Well, I think if there are ever any movies made in Wisconsin in the future, I think they all need to bring Jane Matinere on as a consultant
yeah.
to make sure that all people are acting in a way that self-respecting Wisconsinites will act. I think this should be, we should bring back the tax credits to get yeah. more films made in Wisconsin, but have a requirement that all of them have to consult with Jane Matinere.
And I'll do it for nothing.
That brings up, okay, I got two things I want to say. One, this isn't like watching a movie and finding a flub, like, oh, he, you know, the car door was open. And when they came back, the car door was closed. This is all based on Jane's belief in the work ethic of Wisconsinites.
We're better than that.
But also, if she's 80, she may have just looked at the ladder and said, I'll get it later. Because for some reason, her friend says, oh, you better not leave that ladder there. And she's like, well, I'm about to go on errands with you, but I'll stop everything. And then she gets up on the ladder.
Yes.
No, you just move the ladder.
She couldn't. It was wrapped with Christmas lights.
But my other point is, and Dan, you bring up a fantastic point that I think needs to be talked about more. I'd love to actually see this in a Marquette Law School poll. Is I just watched the movie Love Hurts with Academy Award winner Ke-Huy Quan. That movie takes place in Milwaukee. That movie is shot in Manitoba. There are skyline shots of Milwaukee. It looks very, very nice and fine. It's entirely shot in Manitoba. And when Bridget, my wife, said something, I'm like, it's because Wisconsin doesn't have tax credits for movies. People want to make movies in the state, but they don't because they can't afford it. And the state has no vested interest. People would, I mean, come on. It's such a no-brainer to me to have tax credits for people making movies here.
That would make a big difference, Pete, wouldn't it?
I think it would. I mean, we have the nice thing about Wisconsin is there's so many different things you could film here. We've got rural, we've got urban, we've got lakes, rivers, woods. It's easy to bury a body here if you want to shoot like a serial killer movie. Wisconsin would be a great state. And
what
I know,
an example to use there, Pete.
First thing that came to mind, man. I want to go back to the ladder thing for a second, though.
Oh, God.
My issue, hold on, my issue was, we didn't see it. Like you said, move the ladder. She gets up on the ladder. She might have been wearing heels even. I don't know, because weren't they going to go to church or something like that?
No, she had boots on.
Okay, so she to move the ladder but get up on the ladder, that tells me she's doing a Belushi in Animal House where she's on the ladder and she's going to hop and hop and maybe try to see her husband through the window or something. So that now that you say that, I'm doing a deep dive and it's all coming together.
See, and again, they needed her to slip and fall so she would end up in the hospital. She could have just slipped on ice. They could have left the whole ladder thing alone. Right. And it never would have been an issue.
Oh, man.
Stay tuned later this fall. Green and Gold Director's Cut with Jane Matinere.
Pete Schwabba is here. From Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, which you can catch from 6 to 8 p.m. across the network. I wanted to touch briefly on something new that I have caught on Netflix, Pete. It's called Running Point.
Yeah.
And it's a new comedy with Kate Hudson. And it's kind of a Ted Lasso for NBA basketball.
I hope it makes more sense than Ted Lasso.
You watch your mouth.
We can go there if you want with Ted Lasso. The show drives me crazy. It makes absolutely no sense. Ooh. It's cute and funny, and it stops there. There's no plausibility to the story whatsoever.
Send hate mail to Pete Schwabba at Schwabba at civicmedia.us.
Hey, Pete, you want to text me your home address right now, please? Thank you.
No, but
listen, I know I'm on an island here, but no, your Running Point is a Mindy Kaling show. Very funny. I've seen bits and pieces of it. It's on my list to watch. I think season 2 just dropped, maybe, or is about to drop.
Season 1 just dropped. Yeah, and you can watch the whole thing. I watched the whole thing in like 2 days. And it's a lot of fun. It's funny. It's sweet. I think they are trying to be the NBA version of Ted Lasso. It was with soccer. But I think the one issue that I have with it is it's almost... formulaic like an old sitcom in that there's a problem at the beginning and that problem is solved by the end of the episode. Everything gets wrapped up really neatly by the time that episode is over.
Well, and I think this is Kate Hudson's first 30-minute or half-hour comedy. Yeah. So, and there it is more formulaic, but that's Mindy Kaling. Like, I saw The Office when I was reading about it, and some of the clips I've seen, it reminded me of The Office, but I could see the Ted Lasso comparisons as well. Yeah.
And Kate Hudson is very funny in it. She has no problems making fun of herself. She walks into the same clear door over and over and over again. It's hilarious. And
she's
never
not funny, yeah.
Yeah, I just give her a lot of credit for being willing to make fun of herself.
I just want to read, we've gotten some texts in. I just want to read this one text. It rules from Brian in Milwaukee. He says, I love you, Jane. But 3 weeks later, the ladder. it is kind of like who shot Bobby? And then Bobby's like there. And you're like, wait, what happened to Bobby? Bobby was just showering for all summer.
Watch Green and Gold. I'm telling you, it's going to jump out at you.
I think she's being paid by Big Green and Gold right now. I think it's all a ploy just to push the movie.
I'm being paid quietly on the side.
Some guerrilla marketing here.
Yeah, right.
There you go.
Jane, to talk about this.
I'm just trying not to talk about Ted Lasso right now, and I'm not going to lie, it's tough.
Oh, we're going to have you back. That's going to be a whole throwdown about Ted Lasso. Peach Schwabba, what's coming up on your show tonight?
We've got Mike Clemens, Civic Media Sports Authority.
He is wonderful.
Mike Clemens, always love having Mike, and it's a bar band Friday night. Terry Barr coming up with new music. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Peach Schwabba, catch him tonight, 6 to 8 across the network. Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation area, thank you so very, very much. When we return, This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
Hot stuff.
That's hot stuff, baby.
That's hot stuff.
Edition. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
I wouldn't be here. If you hadn't been there, I wouldn't be here. If you hadn't been there.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR. The Todd Alba Show.
Think about how many people in our communities, our friends, our families, our neighbors, our postal workers, carriers, people that work at our Veterans Affairs hospitals, USDA. Here's what Marjorie Taylor Greene, Donald Trump's lieutenant, thinks of all the people I just mentioned.
Federal employees do not deserve their jobs.
That's what Donald Trump and MAGA believe if you are a federal worker.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Can our NATO allies continue to rely on the United States under President Trump? What is your take, Professor Barrington?
The conversation had been going into Friday. Can Europe just get a seat at the table for these negotiations? The right question now is, can Europe build a new table?
Mm.
And I think that's where they are. February 28th, 2025 is going to be remembered as, a pretty key date.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Buck, Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine, where you can always join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Big, big thanks to Peach Schwabba from Nightlight with Peach Schwabba, 6 to 8 across the network, Monday through Friday. And Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation area, also Civic Media's political editor. And by the way, Jane from Madison agrees with, so that's all I need.
Grand.
I'm happy now. Us Janes know.
Yeah.
Us Janes know. We're going to have Peach Schwabba on to have a Ted Lasso throwdown.
I'm sorry that Pete dislikes Joy.
Why does he hate America? No, Pete's great. And check him out tonight from 6 to 8 p.m. Just a reminder, Daylight saving time kicks in this weekend.
Oh boy.
That means tomorrow night before you go to bed, you want to turn your clock ahead 1 hour. Gonna lose an hour of sleep, but then you'll all be happy Sunday night.
No, I'm not. I'm just thinking it's funny that you think there's a lot of people like, you know, changing clocks. It's like nowadays they all change themselves.
I have two clocks I had to keep the instructions for so I can change the time. I have it taped to the bottom of the clock. Because I'm still one of those old people. I have a clock radio by the bed.
And you need an instruction manual for
that? To change the time on it. Yes, oh, okay. I do.
All right.
So don't forget tomorrow before you go to bed, clock ahead 1 hour. Daylight saving time is kicking in. It is 11:53, Calvin. That means it is time for
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
As always, if you have a thing you think should not be, send it into Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us. Greg found this one this morning.
Yeah.
From UPI.com, Ben Hooper with the byline. Headline reads, Canadian man eats 25 Carolina Reaper peppers in under 5 minutes.
In other news, Canadian man dies.
Hospitalized. Yes. Wow. This was from earlier this month. Mm-hmm. An iron-stomached speed eater broke a Guinness World Record by eating 25 Carolina Reaper chili peppers in 4 minutes, 36.26 seconds. Canadian Mike Jack, a YouTuber famous for his high tolerance for spicy food, broke the Guinness record for the fastest time to eat these 25 peppers at a restaurant in Ontario. Carolina Reapers have a heat units measurement of 1,641,183. The average jalapeno pepper is about 4,000 to 8,500.
I think
that's crazy.
I think that you skipped over a major piece of information. He did this at a place called Goat Fest.
That's just cherry on the sundae.
I mean, that's what I love about Canada so much is that as Canadian as you can get, I feel like Wisconsinites especially and Minnesotans, we can appreciate how Canadian Canadians can be because we get as Wisconsinized we can be with the things that we do that are very right within our state. I love it.
The Reaper chilies were considered the hottest chili peppers in the world until last year when the Pepper X was introduced. Jack telling Guinness World Records, I might make it look a little easier than it is, but I'm burning up here. I really feel it. The peppers, they are really, really hurt a lot. Jack does hold multiple Guinness World Record titles, not all of them spice related. Last year, he broke a record by drinking a Capri Sun juice pouch in 21.71 seconds using a paper straw.
The question I have with the Capri Sun, and we're all thinking if you live with a Capri Sun in your life, is does it include the time, does that time include taking the straw off and trying to actually open it up with that stupid little straw they give you?
That's a good point. This story does not include that detail.
And there's video too, by the way. The clip I'm going to include in the show notes will have the video of him actually doing it. And
it's
like he says in the thing, he's like, he's not
enjoying this.
Yeah.
But he does it anyway.
Because
YouTube, it's there.
Yeah.
Because it's there. That wraps up today's episode of
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
Coming up on Monday, retired Major General Randy Manner is going to join us. Now that we are abandoning Ukraine, we're not abandoning Ukraine. Now, Donald Trump this morning talking about putting tariffs on Russia. We'll see how quickly that changes over the weekend. But Randy Manner will be joining us coming up on Monday after 10:30 news. So I hope you will join us for that. Lots and lots of things going to be going on. Don't forget, after the news today, we have Todd Alba from noon to 2, Maggie Dawn 2 to 4, Dom Salvia 4 to 6, Pete Schwabba 6 to 8 p.m. Thank you, Greg and Calvin and all of our guests and all of our engineers. Without you, nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and for texting and for listening. It really does mean the world. I hope you find some joy over the weekend and you have the chance to share it. Keep it here. News coming up next on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll see you Monday. Yeah, I'm high and go see.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, if America alienates its allies, how will that affect us here in Wisconsin? Retired Major General Randy Manner joins us. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
The excitement.
Oh, he stones Brodzinski with a glove save.
The energy.
What's he going to do? He shoots and he scores.
The tradition.
You've got to understand history if you're ever going to write your own.
It's everything.
He scores. Badgers answer right back.
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger hockey.
Sponsored by Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep, Econ Electric, and 8th Street Auto. Listen on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, streaming live and on the Civic Media app.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Christopher Cruz in Washington. For the first time in 15 years, a state has executed an inmate by firing squad. Brad Sigmund's lawyer said his client chose the option over the electric chair or lethal injection. CBS News legal contributor Jessica Levinson.
It's an option that he could choose because some states, about five states, allow it to be an option. In some states, it can't be the primary option. In some states, you have to show that there is essentially a problem with another method, like lethal injection.
Sigmund was executed in South Carolina yesterday. The evolving tariff landscape is forcing businesses to take a closer look at their supply chains.
Trump administration tariffs will potentially increase costs for critical materials like high-tech components, industrial materials, food, automobiles, and more.
It's a shock on the supply side and the demand side as it relates to how companies need to respond.
President of data standards organization GS1, Bob Carpenter, is working with companies on how to modify supply chains to allow for more options.
Do I want to bring more raw materials or manufacturing onshore versus abroad? Do I think about shortening my supply chain altogether?
Stephen Kaufman, CBS News.
Yesterday, President Trump said he's, quote, strongly considering placing new sanctions and tariffs on Russia. A court-appointed lawyer has advised a federal judge to let the Justice Department drop corruption charges against New York City Mayor Eric Adams. But Paul Clement recommended that prosecutors be barred from ever reviving the charges so they don't hang over Adams forever. Here's CBS News legal analyst Thane Rosenbaum.
The argument of the outside counsel seems to be that allowing the case to resurface in the future raises all kinds of ethical issues.
A pastor in Texas says a distinction that many would consider dubious is to him a badge of honor.
Landon Schott is celebrating his school's distinction as the least vaccinated school in Texas. Mercy Culture Preparatory Academy in Fort Worth has a measles vaccination rate of just 14%.
Freedom is something that we take seriously. Religious freedom, freedom of our health. And so shout out to MC Prep for being the least vaccinated school in Texas.
Schott delivered the news in a social media video, even as a huge measles outbreak spreads across West Texas and neighboring eastern New Mexico. Jim Crisula, CBS News.
A Newark, New Jersey police officer has been killed, another wounded in a shooting. It happened at around 6:30 last night. The officers were responding to a report of multiple gunshots they were fired on. When they arrived on the scene, police say a juvenile, believed to be the shooter, is in custody. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Tom from Monona. I love this one. He says, this is Tom. I like to rub my feet together and drink milk out of the cow. Listen, we'd all spoon ourselves if we could just for some affection. But rubbing your feet together, as I mentioned last week, is the closest thing to self-cuddling. It's just a relaxing, and Tom wants to do that, apparently laying under the udder of a cow. That is the idea of a chill evening on Fat Tuesday.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Matt Nair on Air.
Will Westmoreland is joining us now. He is a farmer in southwestern Missouri.
This is an 80-20 Republican area down here. You can't throw a rock without hitting a Republican. And I still know all the guys I graduated with. So I always ask, don't admit you were wrong. Just admit you were lied to. That's a lot easier to do. If you just admit you were lied to, you can get over here with us and start working to fight the problem.
Matt Nair on Air, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Day one, the hardest day, the day you hear.
This is a type of blood cancer.
But day one is just one day. At the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society,